Hi there, I'm Barry Forward, and welcome to the Reboot Forward podcast. This is the podcast where we take a deep dive into the wonderful world of change, reinvention, transformation, and just plain doing something different. In particular, how it impacts the people who go through that change, what they've learned from their journey through change, and ultimately, what has allowed them to reboot forward. Today on the podcast, we're going to Northern Italy, and we're going to check in with a salesperson, an expert in sales, to talk about this wonderful little opportunity that's called video and LinkedIn. It's kind of unusual. You're probably asking yourself, why is Barry talking to this guy? Well, I'm fascinated with it because I'm fascinated with the sales process, and I get probably one or two inquiries a day from salespeople telling me that they can help me build a sales funnel using LinkedIn. Well, I'm also fascinated with Italy. I'd love to go there. And we're going to check in with San Remo. This is a place just about 20 miles, I think 20, maybe 20 to 40 miles from the French border. And we're going to talk today with Johnny Mimileri. Yes, he's a sales coach. He works with consultants, leadership coaches, to help them generate clients by tapping into the full power of LinkedIn using video. Bills himself is a business consultant, a video content strategist, and he spends a lot of time helping them use all these materials they called video to generate sales. He's apparently worked with six-figure consultants and international trainers and authors, and also been recommended by Grant Cardone. Let's check in with Johnny Mimileri. How does a guy from San Remo end up coaching clients globally?
So my background, as I said, Barry, it's kind of sales and kind of was selling instances on the phone there. And how I ended up there was really dropping out of college. I just wanted some experience. I was 19 at the time. I wanted some experience to get in the real world, because in college, you know, you don't know what's happening there and you don't know about the real world. So I went to look for a job in a restaurant, didn't get a job in a restaurant. But I remember that close to my school, there was this insurance, and I was always looking at that and was like, what is that? So I went close one time to kind of look at the name, the website, if there was something. And I went to Google the name of the company, which is April Marine. And I found in their website that I could apply for a job in that place. So I sent an email. I didn't have a curriculum. I just sent an email with what I do, what I want, and everything, kind of shared. My pitch was, I don't know what I'm doing. I have no experience, but I'm hungry, and I can learn fast. That was from the email, which actually...
What did they do exactly? What was their product?
Yeah, so insurance is to yachts and ships. Yeah.
Cool. And so walk me through that. So you reached out to them and they talked, you kind of laid it all on the line, said, hey, I have no experience. I'm hungry and I'm ready to sell.
Yeah. And I also knew French because I played soccer, actually football, in France, and I knew some of the language. So that was one of the most important things, because the company is in France. So, but as two or three locations to where they grow from. And so also that was probably one of the reasons I had an interview I thought it was going to be with the hiring director, but it was with the boss of the person, or the boss who actually was responsible for the growth of the company in Italy. So when I went to do the meeting and the interview, that's who I met with. And pretty much what I think got me the job, after a few weeks I found out, was the confidence. I came into the meeting because to myself I was thinking, I have nothing to lose here. They're probably not going to hire me. There were zero expectations. But when I actually went in there with that confidence and conviction that, hey, I'm going to be honest with you, I really have no idea what I'm going to be doing here. But I'm really, really hungry and I can learn fast. And pretty much he said, I asked a few questions about college and everything like that, soccer. He was passionate about it. Probably he was. He emotionally bonded with why I wanted to work for the company. And he saw himself in me when he was younger. And he told me that after 3 days of me being, of working for the company. Yeah.
What do you think the key is to confidence? What allowed you to do that?
I think visualization, I visualized the thing like, I would say 100 times 3 days before that. I visualized me walking in. Actually, it was very precise visualization. I visualized the place because I already was familiar with the offices, because anytime I walk by, I can actually see inside. And I could visualize specifically like me walking in, meeting, giving the handshake, and, you know, keeping eye contact. So I visualized that so many times that I feel that was the main one, but also not having expectations or putting pressure on myself. Also, my family didn't know anything about it. So probably external pressure wasn't there. And I feel like, yeah, a combination of both.
So you're where you live is right on, almost on the border. You're, what are you, France, Spain? You're close there. You're right in the heart of Europe here. So having this cross border stuff is just kind of normal. And you played soccer in France. Very, very interesting. How did that all work out for you? Why not go pro in soccer?
So I'm 20 miles from France. So my brother had the idea when I was like 16. He was like, let's just go pro. Because I was playing for SA Monaco, which is a professional team. So I was playing for the professional young team of Monaco, which is between 17 years old and 19 years old. I did 2 years and a half there. And then it got to a point where I was going to move to the first team, which was the professional ones, the ones who were actually making real money, very successful. Or I was going to change team because of my age, because I was going to be 20. And so my brother had the idea, let's just go pro, man. Let's go. You do that. Let them see you, how good you are. Because here in Italy, I was already having some success. So he thought, let's go there. And he presented me. I did like 7 days of trial there, showing my skill set. He did some special exercise there to find out if I was good enough. And then, they said, cool. You are SA Monaco player.
And you played for... in Monaco for what, a year, a couple of years? How did that play out for you?
2 years and a half. So the first year went amazing. I actually scored like 17 goals and I played like 27 games, which is pretty cool for someone who's a striker like myself, like I was. So the first year went amazing. The second year wasn't that good, probably because more competition came in. So something happened there. I didn't play as many games. Wasn't even that bad. I scored like 7-8 goals there, but I played way more. Like the ratio between goals and how many times I played wasn't good as the first year. And the third year, which I was about 19 years old and I was going to be 20, the third year didn't go well at all. I don't know if it was a mindset thing, Barry, I'm going to be honest with you, but I actually felt that I wasn't good enough, subconsciously probably was something, that I wasn't good enough to go to the first team. So probably, the mindset, I gave up already from there, seeing the competition, either I was good, but I didn't see myself as somebody going to that, so to the next level.
But you made that move at that time, so you're 20. Or going to be 20, and you said, "Hey, I got to get out of here, out of this football career, soccer career, and get into sales." Was that the move, or you just like happened to be because you were walking by this site all the time that you decided that was the path for you moving forward?
So after this, after moving from Monaco, I moved to the fourth league in Italy. I played for about a year. In Italy, when I had an injury and probably there something happened where I was going to training, not showing up the way I wanted to show up. I was 19 years old when I actually made this move, early 19. So I moved in this fourth league, didn't go very well, had the injuries. Actually, the first 6 months I couldn't play because the delay of my, the certificate of the players, things like that. Lasted 6 months, because if a player moves from France to Italy, they've got to wait at least 6 months for them to be ready to play in the league of Italy, because they were just in the league of France. And so I waited 6 months. Then when I started playing the 6 months that were left in the season, didn't go very well. I had an injury. And then at some point I decided to give up. After a few weeks of giving up football, I dropped out of college, still was in college. Even when I was going to Monaco, I still was going to college in Italy. And I was going to college, and again, in front of the college, I had this insurance, but it didn't come to my mind when I dropped out of college to just go to the insurance, I actually started searching for jobs in restaurants. And I applied for three jobs in restaurants, didn't get them. Both three didn't get them. And then I'm like, hey, here, it's not going the way I want. Kind of, I was a little bit depressed there because I'm like, if a restaurant won't hire me, like, damn, we ain't good here. So I went and tried the insurance thing because it came to my mind. I was like, I was just looking for solutions. I was in my room looking for solutions. What do I do? And, you know, that thinking of, I have nothing to lose here. Let's just go for it. Then I started Googling it. And that's how I contacted the company.
So sales, let's talk about sales. It's a, you know, there's some striker mentality in sales as a good salesperson. I work with lots. I find the whole process of sales fascinating. Yeah. How did you make that change? Like, how did you transition from being what I'll call sports oriented, maybe an athletic progress in your career to, you know, being a student where you're kind of academically incorporating, you're, you know, trying to learn to, hey, I'm going to be a salesperson.
Yeah, that's a great one. Yeah. So when I first started working for this company, I had no idea what I was going to do, but I had an idea. I had to pick up the phone. And in the beginning, I thought I was going to call clients, let them know about staff, but the boss told me, no, you're going to call people. And the first 2 to 3 days, I had him on my side to kind of show me how he was doing them and show me the process. It kind of gave me a framework of how we go about doing it. So 3-4 days, I think, I had him on my side. And then he let me for 2 to 3 weeks, kind of checking on me, like, do the cold calls. And that was the most uncomfortable I've ever been, probably, Barry, because I'm like, who am I talking to here? Like, who's in on the other side? But I was calling, people who had yachts, like, they were worth a lot, 4 million, 5 million. I'm like, I've got to sell insurances to these folks. Are they even going to pay attention? So I was making like 50 to 70 calls a day in the first 3 months. And I was talking to basically 10 to 15 people. That's how many people were answering. And they weren't going good. The first 3 months were terrible. But I think the boss had, I don't know what made him keep me in there, but he kept me. I improved, I think, in the first, after I think month 6th, 7th, I started to land one deal a month, which wasn't that bad. And then after the 8 to 9 months, I was landing 3 to 4 deals a month. Yeah. And that was going good.
So you learned just like they put you out there, set you on, you know, here, go ahead, cold call. Cause I heard a lot of cold calling there, which in, you know, many cases, most people are just terrified of cold calling. How did you handle rejection? How did you grow into accept rejection as part of the process?
I was thinking in terms of abundance. I'm like, let's move to the next one. I think like having your pipeline full, I think it's a great one to rejection, because let's say that you have a plan to talk to 7 people. One rejection, it's a lot. It means a lot if you get rejected. Like, if you need to talk to 7 people, you get rejected by 1. But if you have 50 to 70 people you need to talk to, that one rejection won't be as bad as in case you just had to talk to 7 people. So I think like having your pipeline full and talking to many people and thinking in terms of abundance while doing that, I feel like that was the cure to the rejection for me, at least.
That's good in theory, and I have to say good in theory, but with the practical side of it, did you get stronger when you, the more people you kind of reached out to and got rejected more? I know there's a theory called, you know, where the more you get rejected, actually at the peak of it, you're actually more confident. Did you find that for yourself?
I would say, yeah, the first 3 days was, I felt like I was doing something wrong, where I was actually doing something wrong. But the mindset that I made, I don't know how I made this mindset, but I'm like, I don't really care. I'm doing this to learn and to get better. So I was going there with no expectation in terms of what the call was going to be. So that's probably what helped me with that. So it made me just stronger, because every call, I had a little bit more confidence. Each call, a little bit more confidence, a little bit progress. Picking that phone, you know, the first days I was shaking to pick up the phone and calling. But after 2-3 weeks, the confidence was a little bit built. And the more I was doing, the more, and the rejection part, yeah, was actually fueling that. And I was expecting at some point, and I was surprised when I landed the first deal. I'm like, oh, cool. Are you buying? Seriously? I'm like, seriously. Let's go for it. Let me sign you. Yeah.
So setting someone up, you now work as I'll call it a sales consultant. You help people sell and fill their pipelines. That's what you do now, especially coaches, people who are in the consulting coaching business. What is your first advice to someone, piece of advice when they're getting going? They're just starting their business and they're in the process of doing it. How do you begin it all? What's your first piece of advice?
Yeah. When I do it through content, one will be, if you're doing the content, putting the content out there and getting those calls, I will say, don't just try to convince anyone of anything. Give them an opportunity to convince themselves. And this brings into the point of demonstrate your skill instead of talking a lot about it. So that will be one. But the other one will be like active listening. Listening to the other person and demonstrating that you're actually careful to what they're saying. And sometimes demonstrating that through active listening, that you're listening to them, that you know what they're going through, what is their challenge, what it is their concern, and carefully addressing those things are big ones I found. And there are so many. Like, also, when you ask questions, ask a question and stay silent. Don't ask a question over another question and then on top another question, and you bring just confusion. And if you don't get an answer to your question, make sure that you ask it in a way that you ask again the same question, but in a way that you present it differently. So you get an answer to the question. And so I presented three there. Sorry, Barry.
There you go. But you talk about demonstrating your skills. You're demonstrating what you do. How does someone do that remotely? I mean, we're all sitting here in our home offices now, trying to kind of reach out to new potential clients, customers. How do you demonstrate your prowess up front when someone has never met you? They look over and they see just some written words on paper. How do you do that?
It comes down to the question: what internal decisions do you want your audience to make for them to want to do business with you? And usually the first one is you've got to demonstrate your expertise and that you're good at what you do and skillful enough to take them from where they are to where they want to be. And the internal decision, it's exactly that. Oh, this guy can help me go from where I am to where I want to be. And it's kind of selling a piece of cake. If you want somebody to taste that piece of cake, to know that it tastes good, don't talk about the colors and how cool it is. Give them a piece of it, right? Give a little bit away of it. And that's when I talk about expertise. If you want people to actually test how good you are, give them a little bit away. So I will help in advance. Helping people in advance, it's one of the best ways to demonstrate your expertise. So I will reverse engineer what are the internal decisions that that person needs to make for them to want to do business with me, and present topics and communicate in a way where it drives that internal decisions or those internal decisions.
A lot of your work is done on LinkedIn. You spend a lot of time on the platform. Why LinkedIn? What's so special about it these days?
One reason is because someone comes across your name so much more times than other platforms. For example, if I like somebody's content or I like somebody's videos or comment, if their comment or content gets liked by another one, my name is going to show up in their notification yet still. If I like or comment on another post and someone comments on that post, I'm going to come across their name. So for somebody to come across, if I post regularly on LinkedIn, the same person can come across my name like 100 times every single week. And that's just a very important one for people to be like, oh, Johnny is posting, like creating that top of mind type of feeling. But the other one is the user's behavior, which is different from YouTube and other platforms. Usually people on LinkedIn go with a mind frame of, you know, they value their time. You know, when they go on LinkedIn, the same person can spend 10 minutes on YouTube without a problem. But when they go on LinkedIn, their behavior is different because they don't go on LinkedIn to consume content. They go on LinkedIn to close sales, to grow their business. They are looking for something. So they're not in there to spend time. And when I look at that, I saw it as an opportunity. Oh, if I can get good at grabbing attention here, keeping that attention, number one, the algorithm is going to reward me for that. But it's an opportunity because many around here actually don't know how to do it. So, yeah.
And so when you say that, because you and I, before we started talking here, we're talking about video and audio and text, and you're a big proponent of video on LinkedIn. Yeah. What makes that so powerful in that context, LinkedIn with video?
Because somebody can get to experience who you are and what you stand for way easierly than if you just text or do something else. When I watch a video, you can get a feeling of who is somebody, what they stand for, their personality types. And it's easier to present a value through video than to do it through text, I found. And it's easier for your audience to believe it in the first place than when it's through text, because the tonality and the body language play a huge role in communication. I found it's like 92% of the communication totally, and 7% is just words. So knowing that to be true, your communication becomes more effective and more powerful when people can sense that through by seeing you and seeing that you are a real person. So it builds a relationship better than anything else, I found. But it doesn't mean that people have to get on video. You got to find your thing. Some people, I usually say, you've got to get on video if you want to build a relationship, build a better and quicker connection with people, let them know who you are, what you stand for, what you stand against. But it doesn't mean that you have to. Maybe text is your gift, and texting, maybe it's how you communicate your message better. Maybe you're weird on video, I don't know. But yeah.
Well, a lot of people, I mean, they look at someone like yourself. You're in sales, and there's whole, you know, you have what they call LinkedIn premium. You pay for it. You get some sort of access and everything. Many people look at it and go, hey, I'm just trying to do my business. I'm just a consultant out there trying to work with my clients. I don't have time to spend, you know, I don't know, half an hour, 3 hours a day. What does it take in terms of time commitment for someone to be really effective on, say, LinkedIn?
It depends on what you got to do. But for me, it takes at least 150 to 100 connection requests and send them out there every single day. And post content at least 5 times a week. I found that to be great, 4 or 5 times a week.
Video content?
Not necessarily. It can be 2 to 3 videos, but it can be also text. But at least post, in terms of posting, 4 to 5 times a week, yeah.
So 4 to 5 times or 45 times?
No, four to five. Yeah, four.
Well, and you know, I find it, I'm a student of this. You and I met just by... through this medium, right? LinkedIn. Yeah. And I'm always fascinated because I probably get, as a coach, Barry, an executive coach, I want to say 2 or 3 requests from people, sales folks, to connect every day for their program. How do I differentiate? I get all these inquiries coming in. How do I make sense of it?
How do you stand out from the crowd, you mean?
No, I've got all these inquiries. People are tapping my shoulder every day saying, hey, I've got this great program. I've got this great, you know, this coaching. I will fill your funnel. I can tell you, I get 1 or 2, maybe 3 a day.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah. First of all, I will look at the clients, who have they helped and what kind of results have they helped them achieve. And I will reach out to the clients if... of course, someone or you are considering getting some help with that, because everybody can make claims. Everybody, also when I'm saying testimonials, anyone can do a testimonial when they feel they got some value out of the program. Testimonials, I will look for real results. When it comes, if you're considering getting help with that, that's what I will start from the beginning. I feel like clients' results speak louder than everything else. Any claim, any fancy website, or any type of following and vanity metrics. But yeah, there are so many out there who actually say, hey, here's what I got. Here's what you should buy. I got that many followers. I've helped a couple of people. They got a lot of value out of it. And yeah, most people are, I think, like that. But that's the process I will follow if I were to choose my...
So you're intriguing to me, okay? You're intriguing to me because here you are sitting in Italy and you're reaching out to people all over the globe and you're talking to a guy on the West Coast here of North America. And I'm wondering, what do you think offers you that opportunity to reach out and connect with clients who aren't necessarily sitting there in Monaco?
Why not? I got skill. I got a great product. I feel like I think it's a great opportunity, but also approach it with a mindset, Barry, that not everybody is the right fit. Like I'm fully booked all the time without having to convince anyone of anything. And definitely I'm not a big fan of that, because when I started doing that, I was in a point where I was working with the wrong people. Some weren't doing the work. Some people just weren't showing up. Some people had expectations that were, I'm like, goodness, Jesus. But am I answering your question?
You are. You said it, you know, why not, right? Why not yeah. in this economy, in this world, we can work wherever we want. So why not? And I'm just so glad you reached out to me. And I will say, as I said, I get these calls, aren't it calls, little messages every day, same people trying to connect. And the difference for you was that you actually, it wasn't a hard sell. It was a personal connection. And it was just you being yourself and just seeing where it went in terms of building a relationship. And just for anybody listening here, we're not in business together at all. Yeah. So just when you hear that, what does that say to you in terms of your style, your presence?
It says that I'm patient with it and I'm looking for real relationships. I value that a lot, because I feel like if there can be that authentic relationship with someone, then if they become clients, if that happens in the near future, that would be a good bond. And I feel like having a good bond with somebody and a good relationship makes it so much more likely for them to get results while they are with you. But if there is skepticism while in the program, or maybe in still not that bond, I actually don't feel even comfortable working with them myself. So I'm big on relationship, authentic, not being like, but I'm also like big in getting clients and putting myself in a way that lets the right people know, hey, here's what I do, here's how I can help you.
So what's one thing that we haven't talked about that people should know about you?
Personally, that's something that I even posted. I've dealt with depression. That's something that probably nobody knows. And if you are dealing with it, everybody listening, please reach out for help. That's not something you want to, that's not something you want to deal with it in silence. Professionally, what somebody might not know about me is that I've been doing video. I probably posted more than 800 videos online. And to post those 800 videos online, I had to do like 2,000 takes, especially in the first 6 months I was doing videos. I've done many of them. But people see these few ones on LinkedIn and they think, dude, you're so natural on videos. Jesus, I've done 2,000 of them. But yeah, that's something that they don't know, both personal and...
What's the key to video? Is it... because I hear it a lot of times where my clients like, Barry, why would I do that? You know, I'm going to stutter. I'm going to, what am I going to look like? What do you, when you see someone and they say, or hear, or talk to someone and they say, hey, I don't know about video. What's the convincing? How can you convince me that I'm going to be okay in that process?
First of all, I've got to understand what it is that they believe to be true about video. Number one, they might believe, oh, it's not going to help it. Then I will ask, what it is that you're trying to accomplish? Oh, get more clients. And I'm going to be like, do you think that by getting your videos and letting more people know who you are and what you stand for, will that help you to make it, will that make it more likely for you to get more clients? If their answer is yes to that, then I'm like, do it.
So if someone would like to get a hold of you, someone's trying to track Johnny down, what's the best way? Do you have a website? Do you just find you on LinkedIn? What is the best way to get a hold of you?
LinkedIn, it's number one. I have a website, leadershipclients.com. I have put together a training, kind of a masterclass, which is very valuable, where people can enter their email, get access to it. I don't do email marketing, don't worry about it. There is a training of 30 minutes in there, and it's pretty, pretty cool.
So mention your website again, and maybe spell out your name so everybody knows how to get a hold of you.
Yeah, leadershipclients.com. My name is Johnny. XHONI.
Well, thanks again to Johnny Mimoleri for joining us from beautiful San Remo, Italy. For more information on Johnny and how to get a hold of him, check out our show notes for today's episode. Also, if you would like to connect with Johnny by email or myself, pop me a note at barry@rebootforward.com. Thanks again for listening to the podcast. Until next time, let's reboot forward.